Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my podcast series. Welcome to the Winner's Circle. And today I have a guest, Justin Blue. This is the second time premiering on the series, which is a great opportunity for me. And I thought this time I'd bring him back to talk about something new that he's worked on and that he's provided for our people. And so if you've been listening for a while to the series, he was on an episode back in the summer of 2020, which was like a pivotal time for us as a community with George Floyd and everything else that transpired that summer. And on that episode, we spoke a little bit about all of that and just our thoughts on it. And so he's here today and he's going to talk about his growth as an individual and how it has impacted him now and what he's been working on currently. So hi, Justin. Thank you for being here.
Hola, hola. Happy to be here.
Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about like your growth as an individual and just how that has like shaped you since the last time we spoke. So it was summer of 2020 when we spoke, and now we are right before the new year for 2022. So we're here at the tail end of 2021. And so a lot of time has gone by, and there have been a lot of shifts and pivots, I think, in everybody's life, given everything that's happened in Black America, everything that's happened in regards to COVID and this whole vaccine situation, and which does trickle down and affect everyone personally. So can you talk a little bit about like who you are and just Justin Blue University, which is your organization, and how it has evolved through amidst all these changes and just how you've grown as an individual since last year?
Oh, wow. All right. It's a very loaded question.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right. Where should I start? Where should I start?
Well, let's start for the new listeners, just in case anybody new is tapping in. Why don't you talk about Justin Blue University and just kind of what prompted you to start your organization?
Well, the concept of Justin Blue University, it really started from, in a strange way, it started from a place of anger, but then also from a place of wanting to educate people. And in an earlier time, a lot of the stuff like out the gate was heavily geared towards just like Black consciousness and pro-Blackness. And there's still that there, but it's in a different form. And so I think what drives a lot of us to get into things that would be considered activism or taking up some sort of stance as far as pushing for progress or trying to impact things in a positive way, a lot of times it springs from traumatic events or it springs from places of anger or places where we feel like we've been done wrong and wanting to impact those areas. And so for me, it was racism. For me, it was police brutality. But once you start getting involved in that stuff, it opens up just so many different rabbit holes and cans of worms on other things that are intertwined with it, because it's just all interconnected. So me being an intellectual and a creative and having a drive to want to just educate people, Justin Blue University sprang out of that. It's right. A creative outlet, but then also an outlet to educate people on things regarding systemic oppression and how to progress past that. But also just things regarding life as a whole. So that's kind of like the foundations of that portion of just Justin Blue University, even from a conceptual point of view. And it could tie more into self-evolution as well, but it's just a lot of ways I can answer that.
Right. Yeah. Definitely something that I think you're absolutely correct about that. Like different, it can go off, like it's all interconnected, because I feel like we can't touch on like one thing in the Black community without touching on something else. And they all are intertwined. And so in your organization, JBU, you offer a few different things for people. You offer Knowledge Mafia Book Club, the SOS series, and recently last spring, I feel like, and over the summer, you did God's Vessel. Can you talk a little bit about each of those, I guess, entities of JBU?
Well, with the Knowledge Mafia book club, many people, well, since Knowledge Mafia, Justin Blue University as a whole, it's really about helping people empower themselves and being an outlet and being a vessel for that as much as possible. Right. So that's really what that's what it's about. And the things that I create, produce, provide, it's based in that. So Knowledge Mafia Book Club is, you know, is giving you tools to further and progress yourself. And I read a lot. I'm a very avid reader. I probably listen to audiobooks and read just as much as I would listen to music, if not more, depending on what I have going on. So I'm constantly taking in information, constantly learning new things, getting new perspectives, and being intentional about personal development and being intentional about just things that could have an impact and help other people. And so Knowledge Mafia is bringing people into that, even that personal journey of myself, but also helping people on their own personal journey. So that's an outlet for that. Mm-hmm. Also have the Speak to Our Sons mentorship series. Mm-hmm. And you know, my father, he's been involved in my life. And even to this day, I reach out to him at various times for wisdom or insight, or there'd be difficult life situations where it's just like, you know, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to maneuver this. And so I have the privilege of being able to make that phone call and say, hey, okay, you've been here longer than me. You have more wisdom. You have more experiences. This is what I'm dealing with. How should I maneuver it?
Right.
And, you know, there's no specific answer to there's no specific answer to what is the right way to be a man. Right. Everyone, you can ask 1,000 different men and they'll probably give you 1,000 different answers. So everyone has to explore that on their own and figure that out for themselves. But there's various life lessons and pieces of wisdom and insight that can help people along the way. And many people don't have the outlet to be able to place that phone call, or didn't have their father involved to a capacity where they're able to get lessons that they would have received if the person was there. And so, you know, statistically speaking, just numbers wise, not everyone is going to have access to such male figures, but they can have access to the Speak to Our Sons mentorship series, which is it's digital. So that's what inspired me to create that. Just many, many things that I'm creating is just based around empowering others as much as possible. It's focused on just really just pouring in and operating in purpose here. The Life Design 101 course, that's a whole loaded topic in itself. So I don't want to dive too deep into it, but yeah. I don't ramble too much. This is a lot.
No, that's okay. I think I had also asked about God's Vessel, but I think you answered that first, just saying like we can all be like a vessel. And so on social media, you label yourself as the Black Culture Prophet. Why do you call yourself that?
Black Culture Prophet is really what I am. Mm-hmm. And we're all different prophets in different forms. Well, I won't say we're all, but right. I'm in a place where I really understand why pastors or people in certain positions, they'll say they have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
It's the creator is very intentional, right. And everything is placed here for a purpose. Everyone is placed here for a purpose, from just the way that the ecosystem works to the way that your body functions, just the way that the solar system operates. Everything is very intentional. And so we all have various callings upon our life that we can either embrace or we can run from, or at least attempt to run from. But there's callings that certain of us have. And so for myself, one calling that I have is receiving information from a higher source and sharing it with people and really just operating in that and doing that unapologetically. So when I say black culture profit, I'm really referring to the reality that a lot of what I'm sharing is not coming directly from me. It's coming from something that I know is higher than me.
Right.
And my job isn't to necessarily judge how it's going to be received or necessarily judge whether or not people like it, right, but just to walk in, am I carrying out what I'm supposed to be carrying out? Am I, you know, saying what I'm supposed to be saying? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing and being a prophet in that manner?
Okay. Yeah, that's, a lot of people will say they have, I mean, I feel like everyone does have like a calling. Everyone has a purpose. Not everybody taps into it. But some people always say like, this is my calling. This is my purpose. And it's not, it's just like something they're doing. Sometimes it can be scamming and things like that. But I personally just believe that for yours, that is fitting, because I do feel like some of the things that you post or you talk about are wisdom from experiences you've had or definitely downloads that you've gotten.
The interesting thing, though, is like even the experiences we have, why did we have those experiences? Right. And so sometimes a lot of times you go through experiences that are for greater causes, that are in alignment with certain things that you're supposed to share or drop off later. Mm-hmm. So it all works in strange ways, you know, right, complex ways, I would more so say.
Yeah.
And another thing too that I would like to say is people's purposes can evolve over time. So yeah, there's this idea that person only has one purpose, but you know, we have multiple purposes at various time periods, and a person may be doing something that was their purpose, but then maybe they completed what they were supposed to be doing in that area or in that time period of life, and it's time for them to go on to something else. And I just wanted to point that out because I think a lot of people get discouraged at mm-hmm. going towards things that they feel like they should be doing because they don't want to dedicate themselves to the wrong it. And right, they're in a person's life, the average person's life, at least, there's multiple its. There's multiple things that you're supposed to be doing. There's multiple purposes that you're supposed to be carrying out. So I don't want people to get discouraged with the idea of, okay, well, there has to be this one thing. And if I miss this, the mark on this one thing, then I just missed the mark across the board.
Right.
But that's not the case.
I think too, I definitely agree with you there. Like, purpose does evolve. It depends on what season you are in your life. And I think, in my opinion, I think it depends on that and depends on what's happening in your reality at the moment. And sometimes those, just as you evolve as a person, like, your purpose evolves. And I also think too that sometimes, you know, you can be in one thing as your purpose. Like, you can be in like your first purpose, and that will somehow lead you to your second purpose. So it may provide you with an opportunity that might lead you to like your second one. And then it kind of keeps going. I don't think that people have like just one and one alone. I think it does change over time. And I think it's based on the level of growth that you have as an individual. Okay. And so now, you recently worked on your life design course. You titled it Life Design 101, and that took some time. can you talk a little bit about, like, you know, how do you feel about the course? Like, why did you feel you needed to create it? And, you know, you have like the SOS series, you have the Knowledge Mafia book club, you have God's Vessel, like you have these empowerment quote unquote tools for our people already, but why did you feel that it was necessary to design a course for people? And like, who were the people you had in mind when you were kind of designing this and creating this? Like, were you thinking about, you know, kids coming out of college? Were you thinking about Black men? Were you thinking about our community as a whole? Like, who did you have in mind when creating this Life Design 101 course?
The broad answer is humans, because we all have aspirations. We all have things that we desire. We all have a life that we desire. Mm-hmm. And there's a large portion of us that don't know, at least we feel that we don't know how to achieve it or how to execute it. And I say we feel that we don't know how to achieve it or execute it because the answers are within us. Yeah. They really are. Even from a life coaching viewpoint, in life coaching, your job isn't to give people the answers. Your job is to help them pull the answers out of themselves with the understanding that the answers are already there within them. They just need assistance bringing them out. Right. So my specifically like who it's created for, it's human beings who are trying to, or not trying, working towards achieving the life that they want to design. And I read a lot of personal development, self-help books. I've been studying things for over a decade and implementing it and applying it to my own life and helping others with the information that I've gained. And that stuff is powerful, but a lot of it doesn't speak our language.
Right.
A lot of it is, you know, it's just not culturally speaking our language. So Life Design 101, I wouldn't say it's specifically for any specific race or any specific gender, not even necessarily any specific age group, because we're all striving to design the lives that we desire to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But I was intentional about creating from a place where culturally it's in tune. Yeah. And that flows naturally because culturally I'm in tune.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. And so what are some of the things that people can get in this course versus all of the courses that are out there? Because now, like on social media, just anywhere. And I think this has happened because of the pandemic, but it just seems like there's like an overflow of information when it comes to mental health, self-care, like anything in that realm. And there's so many people who are releasing courses, whether it's an e-course, a regular course, like a live course, like there's always somebody releasing a course. And so what about your course sets yours apart from others, like aside from the cultural awareness, and you speak with like that voice, so you can kind of come at the angle from that lens, but like what else would separate you from, you know, others who are releasing kind of a life design course in a sense?
Everything from top to bottom, because I'm operating not just from a place of intellect or a place of education and formal education, but also operating from a place of the extremely high level of intentionality and being intentional about everything from even just the structure of the various sections and what's inside the various sections and how it's delivered inside the various sections and being intentional about making sure that this is stuff that's really helping people and not just a whole bunch of fluff that's taking people's money. And that's important. So that's a drastic difference. And not to say that people who are creating courses are all just trying to get people's money or take advantage, but there is that reality of even skepticism where people are like, you know, I don't know, because there's a lot of people who are just, you know, trying to get a quick buck.
Right.
Myself, everything I create is very intentional about, is this really helping people? Is this really adding value to people's lives? Is this really transforming people's lives? Is this really giving people tools that they need? So that's a large portion. Structure wise, there's four different main sections of Life Design 101. And the first one is taking control of life. And second one, pinpointing objectives and goals. Mm-hmm. The third one, which is very unique, is 10 common hindrances of success. And then the fourth section is goal planning and execution. So the structure of Life Design 101 is really built in a way where regardless of whatever state you're in, by the end of it, you're in an empowered state and you have the tools to execute what it is that you're working towards. So section one is taking control of life, because I can't teach you anything until you understand how to take control of your life.
Right.
Until you understand how to change your energy, until you understand how to change your mindset, until you understand that you're worthy of all the things that you desire. Until you understand that piece, and until you're working on that portion, then anything else that I give you is nearly irrelevant, because that's such a key thing. And so being intentional about, okay, that needs to be section one. We got to focus on this first.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you understand how powerful you are, once you understand your abilities, once you have tools that help you to be able to cultivate that mentally, energetically, spiritually, then we move on to, all right, let's pinpoint your objectives and goals. Let's pinpoint what it is that you really want. Let's pinpoint what your highest priorities are, but not just pinpointing what your highest priorities are. Let's pinpoint which of these priorities can you place your energy into that's going to help you execute these other priorities. So a huge thing that's very common is people wanting to do so many things, but not knowing where they should place their energy.
Right.
And so what that ends up being is almost nothing being accomplished.
Right.
When it comes to bulletproof glass, not even bulletproof glass is really bulletproof. There's a way that you can break through bulletproof glass, and bulletproof glass is in layers. So if someone was trying to break through bulletproof glass, usually they would make the mistake of hitting different spots in attempt to break the glass. But since there's layers, what you're really supposed to do if you're trying to break through that is you have to hit the same spot repeatedly. And the same thing applies to life and how energy is dispersed. There's layers to the obstacles. There's layers to you getting to where you want to go. There's layers to it. And so it's important to take your energy, focus it in one spot, and break through. And once you have those breakthroughs in that one area, then it opens up to where you're able to go and execute more things. And so section two is pinpointing objectives and goals, figuring out, okay, what's going to be the best goal to put that energy into that's going to help you be able to get to other things. And I call it a gold medal goal. It's that goal where you get a gold medal in one area, and then that opens up doors for you to do other things. And there's various examples, and it goes more in depth into that. Then we have section three, 10 common hindrances of success. And I must say, like, that's one of my favorite sections, because it's so unique and it touches on so many things that are just so important. So misuse of universal laws. And that's one subsection within there. Depression and anxiety. So many people dealing with depression and anxiety, especially in these times. That's in there. Addictions and undesired habits. Touching on that, how to overcome addictions, how to overcome undesired habits. Procrastination, which, you know, that's been one of my biggest issues, just as far as, you know, childhood and how I've been raised and working to break that. And so, like, I know firsthand that that's a huge thing. Procrastination, dating patterns and intimate relationships. Like, so we're in the section number three, 10 common hindrances of success.
Right.
That can be a huge one that can hold you back. Dating patterns and intimate relationships. So that's, we're touching on that in there. Another subsection after that is your personal community and networks. So, you know, that's very important too. Now, next one. Within the 10 common hindrances of success, forgiveness. You know, lack of forgiveness for others, lack of forgiveness for yourself, that could tie your energy up so much.
Right.
You know, that could hinder you so much. And so really focusing on, what is forgiveness? What does that mean? What does that look like? What doesn't it look like? How can we work towards forgiveness? What does that look like for you and in your life? How has forgiveness been impacting your life? So we're focusing on that in that portion. Then we also have responses to life occurrences. And there we talk about how there really is no good or bad events. We as human beings, we place labels on these things, but we don't have enough information to understand how this plays out in the larger scheme of things, how this, how all of this stuff has its impact in what way. Like we don't have that ability to fully understand the complexities of how every single event in our own life plays out. And so we have to be very, very extremely careful about putting labels on, okay, this is good or this is bad. Right. This is a positive thing or this is a negative thing. So we focus, you know, focus on that piece in there, but then also how to view things, how to view certain moments, how to view certain events and occurrences that are going to impact you in a positive way rather than impact you in negative ways. Mm-hmm. Another one, pointless friction. And this is important because many times there'll be so many things that are not in alignment with our goals, objectives, things we're striving to achieve, and we'll get caught up in them or we'll allow certain things to hinder us that don't need to hinder us in any form. And so it's like pointless friction. And I get into that. And then this is extremely important. And this is like number 10 in 10 common hindrances of success. And all this stuff is broken down more in depth, but self-awareness and actuality.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be self-aware and you need to know what is actually going on, not just the illusion of what is going on. And this is important because when you're working to get somewhere, in order to get there, you need to know precisely where you are in order to have an accurate map to travel to where you're working towards going.
Yeah.
In Life Design 101, and something I strive to stress as much as possible is you don't base where you're going off of where you are.
Right.
Though it's important for you to know where you are, especially after you decide where it is that you're going. So,
okay.
Oh, and then the last section is goal planning and execution. And we get into actual scheduling. We get into, you know, having your larger goals and getting into all the way down to your day-to-day execution of that. And so it's been, once again, it's been structured in a very intentional manner.
Right. I was going to say, just listening to you like list everything that's in with like within each section, I can tell there is a lot of intention behind it, but it also makes sense. Like the information is given to you in a sense of like you going through the motions in a sense. So it's not anything out of place. It's something that comes together, like how it should come together and how when you're going through the motions, it would come together. I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly, but that's kind of like what I'm getting from hearing this from you. And you touch on a lot of important things that maybe some people don't pay attention to or they overlook, or they may feel like, oh, this is something like minor or small. It's not really going to hinder me, or it may not affect any of my decisions moving forward, that kind of thing. But they're so small, like they're so big that they make a huge difference in what your desired outcome could be. So with all of that, you know, how was that experience like for you to put this together? Like, how was it for you to set aside time to really get this intention out there, but in the way that you really want it to be received? And like, how was it finding like the resources to kind of back up what you, the information you wanted to share? Like, how was it experienced like for you on your level putting it together?
Just making a commitment and following through on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a large body of work. It's a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of thoughts. It's all of that. And so you have to be mentally, spiritually, psychologically in a place of perseverance.
Right.
And really just make, you know, once you being committed to, it's just like, you know, okay, no matter how I'm feeling, I'm going to work on this today. I'm going to push through on this. And once again, just being genuine about the intentionality behind it. and continually examining the intentions spiritually, energetically, going in and pulling from the resources that I've acquired throughout the years, and even in the midst of creating, going in and seeing, you know, maybe something similar that missed the mark in various areas, and knowing where it could be improved upon, and so,
right.
But it's really just a matter of making a commitment and saying, okay, no matter what, this is going to be completed. So,
yeah. And so, do you see like your own personal growth reflected in this course? I know you had to, I think you had shared on social media, like you had to really make a time to pull away from everything, block everyone out. You abstained from a few activities and different things like that, and practices and things. Like, do you feel that while doing those things to create this course, you actually at the same time experienced a personal growth within yourself?
Yeah, I think whenever a person sets out to do anything that's worth doing, that has challenges, that you evolve as a person. Right. And there's a quote somewhere along the lines of, and I'm going to mess it up, but it's not necessarily about what you accomplish. You don't set out to do things for the accomplishment, more so set out to do it for who you become in the midst of accomplishing, or who you become in the midst of the journey. So for myself, I had to just be a lot more disciplined with my time.
Mm-hmm.
Also just mentally, spiritually tapping into certain places that I may not have tapped into before. Right. So when you go through those time periods, it makes you stronger as you continue to create and build.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about like the formatting of your course. So it's obviously electronic or virtual. To what degree is it like electronic? So do you have like downloadable links in there, like PDFs? What platform did you use to kind of get this course out there for the people? Like what platform, if somebody was to purchase this course from you, what platform would they use, and why did you choose that platform? And what were some of like the challenges of, I guess, like aligning or syncing up your information with whatever may be required on the platform you decided to use?
All right, loaded question.
Sorry.
No, it's good. It'd be multiple questions at one time. That's all.
So let's start with this then. What platform did you use to release your course on?
All right, so I use Kajabi.
Okay.
And Kajabi is a platform where it's set up for courses. It's set up. You know, that's what they specialize in, is courses and having everything flow seamlessly, having everything for the user be an enjoyable experience. And, you know, there were some other options out there, but I really care about people's experience while they're going through the course. And I don't want people going through technical issues. I want people to have access from any device, whether it's a laptop or a cell phone.
Right.
A flip phone, maybe, but no. Like laptop or, you know, laptop, smartphone. I want people to have easy access and for things to flow without them having issues while using, while going through the course.
Keep it user friendly.
For sure. Inside the course, there's various PDFs. There's full books in there, because I recommend various books, and so in there I also include a lot of the PDF files for that. There's also PDF files for other things, such as there's 17 questions for self-awareness and actuality, and these are questions that a person would benefit asking themselves, and really pinpointing just various aspects of themselves and their life position that average person doesn't ask. And so that's one of the PDFs in there. But it's myself. I'm going through a great amount of information, a great amount of lessons and things. But mm-hmm. And included within that are various assignments and various PDFs. And everyone is able to go through the course at their own pace and work through things at the pace that works for them, but also right. take what is needed for you. So there may be an assignment that you may not necessarily feel is going to benefit you the most. Right. And if that's the case, although I'm going to recommend the assignment, everyone is in a different place in life. Everyone right. has different things going on. And so I vocalize that throughout the course as well. Right. Okay, I recommend this. And also I have this PDF here, or I have this book here. You might want to read it today. You might find yourself reading it 2 or 3 years from now, because that might be something that you need at that point in time in your life. Right. But this resource is here for you. So, you know, which brings me to another point, Life Design 101, it's not just something that you only use one time. It's one of those things where you're investing in yourself and then you're investing in your life right. for the long run. So
you can go back to it as needed, or you can find yourself back to it years later and then you receive it a whole different way.
For sure.
Yeah. It was like that when I read The Alchemist. I read it years mm-hmm. ago and it meant one thing to me. And then we read it again in book club not too long ago. And then it meant something else. So, or you pick up different messages at this point in time. So that's awesome. So it's safe to say that, like, when people purchase this course, it's not like it's something that they have for a year and then it's gone. It's something that they'll just have access to for a lifetime.
Right.
That's awesome. and so with Kajabi, were there any challenges like getting your information onto their format? Because I know, like, sometimes when you're working with like other companies who are almost like a third party, sometimes they have a particular format that they want you to use. And sometimes, you know what I mean? You might have to like change the layout and things like that. Like, did you come across any challenges with that? And how did you kind of like, how did it make you feel? Like, you know, because obviously putting it on Kajabi is the last and final step. So how did it make you feel if you did?
It's just challenges across the board. From mm-hmm. from A to Z, it's challenges yeah. across the board. So I honestly don't feel any type of way. It's just, okay. I just take it as a part of life. And whenever I set out to create something or put something out, mm-hmm. I already understand that it's going to be a long road. And I come to terms with that mm-hmm. relatively early on. So, you know, once it goes from the step of having to mentally visualize and understand what it is that you're doing, and then going into doing it, and then, you know, creating the whole entire course, and then having to upload it and put it onto a platform, and having to learn the structure of that platform. And even once you upload the whole entire course, now it's like almost having to create a brand new website for mm-hmm. for the hosting of the course and all that. It's just a lot that goes into it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, where I look at it and the way I approach it is, it just is what it is. So,
right.
Not to say that I'm numb to it, but it's just the understanding of the challenges are a part of what comes with everything. And problems are a part of life. But when I say problems are a part of life, not necessarily saying it in a negative way, just that the challenges are going to come.
Yeah.
As long as you wake up in the morning and you set out to do something that's worth doing, the challenges are going to come. So it just is what it is when mm-hmm. it comes to that stuff. You know, a lot of work, a lot of having to persevere, but you just come with it.
Okay. And one of the things, you know, I know you were always putting it out there that you were working on it. I feel like you probably started it, I don't know, last spring or something, or last winter. And you were putting it on social media that, like, you were focusing on this. This is your new project. This is something new you're doing for the community. And I thought it was just a great idea because not many, I'm talking about Black people now, not many of our people have access to a resource like this, or not many of our people are taught to think in this manner when it comes to their life. A lot of our people are taught to, you know, you get what you get and you don't get upset. Make it work with what you have. Don't really strive for more, or don't really strive to be more of an individual who you already are, which, you know, I'm not saying like you have to be ungrateful for the things that you have. Definitely have gratitude for where you are now in life and what you have, but just to know that it is okay and not to feel guilty, to really strive for more and to want more and to take those steps. And a lot of people just don't have access to that. And I think, I think it was important that it was coming from you, not only for quote unquote being the culture, and being culturally accepted and that kind of thing, because the culture could be what's popular. And so everybody across the board will receive you. But I think more in terms of when it comes to our community, our Black community, for the young men coming up and the young women coming up to see that like there is a Black individual who's relaying these messages to them and who's providing this resource to them. And I think that was the important piece about it to me, that, you know, I was like, I really want to see this to completion. And so every time you announced it and you were like, you know, you're almost done, it's going to be released, down to the day that you released it, I was like, this is amazing, because it's something that our kids need. Like, a lot of the other courses that are being put out there are, they're being put out there by so-called leaders, coach leaders, and all these type of whatever labels you want to give it, but they're not Black. And so we don't have, or I could be wrong, but from what I'm seeing, we don't have a lot of Black people who are in this space providing a resource significant as this. So that was something that I thought was important about this course, and like releasing it and just having it for our people and for our community. And even, you know, for those in our community who are like in their 50s and, you know, who are in their 60s, they may not have known some of this stuff. They may have had to learn it years later, or some of them don't even know it to this point in their life. And I think to have something for them that's like this can just change a lot of different things. You know, like, you'll change yourself as an individual, but you'll also, it'll kind of branch out and like trickle into other parts of your life. And then, you know, us as a whole, I think we can all just kind of grow from that. So I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this course. And I really look forward to when you were announcing that, like, you were developing this and designing this down to your release date. And so we spoke about the themes of the course and like why they were important.
I'll hop in for a second.
Yeah.
Just to say, it's not necessarily age sensitive.
Because when we were
talking about life, right? Let's say we focus on depression and anxiety, and mm-hmm. let's say we focus on a demographic that's in their 50s or 60s.
Right.
So demographic in their 50s or 60s or even 70s, they, especially Black community-wise, a common term we all know is, and we're very familiar with, people having bad nerves.
Right.
So it's okay, you know, mom has bad nerves, or grandma's nerves are bad, or dad's nerves are bad. You know, no, you have anxiety. we just didn't label it that, because we don't speak in that way, but that's really what it was. This person is dealing with anxiety, but they just have labeled it bad nerves. And if they're able to be exposed to information to help them with that, even at 60, 70, it could be empowering to them, or helpful to them, or depression, which a lot of people in even Black community are dealing with depression. It's just we show it or we don't show it in different ways, or it comes out in different ways, or we strive to suppress it. And so we work to act as if it's not a part of what we have going on. or a part of our community or life.
That's what I was getting at.
Right. But it's there. That's a huge thing. And so inside of this, it's intentionally focuses on, all right, how can we deal with depression? How can we deal with anxiety? Going into addiction and various habits, whether a person is 8 years old or a person is 78 years old, knowing how to impact addictions and how to break undesired habits, that's something very beneficial. So that's one thing I wanted to make sure I drop off. And then something else that I wanted to note, and it's just a thought that sort of came about in the midst of speaking or you speaking, is the final step being uploading the course. And in reality, there is no final step.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no final step, because you go from, all right, you upload the course, but now you have to go into letting people know that it's available. And so that's a whole nother journey in itself.
Right.
All right. So then now there's people who they take the course, or they're in the course, or they've taken the course. Now that's an extension of the journey as well, because now it's interacting with those people, assisting them in areas where they may need assistance regarding the course, or just ways that you could pour into them more. So, right. You know, that's a whole nother waterfall of things to do in that way. And so
and how has that been now, like, if anybody has purchased it and they've needed like your assistance throughout the course or that kind of thing, how has that been in terms of like getting on that one-on-one level with whoever might have purchased the course and like assisting them?
Well, just I strive to get back to people as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just really striving to get back to people as early as possible. And then one of the best ways to get in contact with me is Instagram most.
Yeah.
Instagram most is one of the quickest ways. And so in there, it allows you to do audio notes and like really get back in touch in a personal manner. So
do you feel, I guess what I'm really asking is like, do you feel like that one-on-one aspect of it, like that connection piece, that if they're, so like, for example, you know, somebody doesn't know you, a complete stranger, and they get your course and they're at one point and they just need to talk to you about something about it, or they have a question about it. The fact that you're accessible and they're able to reach you and actually get you, you know, and not like a robot response email or anything like that. Do you think that they appreciate that? Like, it makes, I would feel like they would, like, it makes that journey for them more personable. Like, you know, how does that feel? Like, has anyone ever said that to you when reaching out to you? Like, have they said, you know what, I really appreciate this course. I actually really appreciate you giving me your time. I'm actually speaking to you about it and that kind of thing. And like, you assisting me or giving me your insight on something, like, you know, I think people see the value in certain things, but then when it's more personable to them, they really appreciate it more. Like, it's worth a lot more. So, like, I guess what I'm asking, like, how has that been in terms of the feedback from people who you have been assisting?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just good. I'm a genuine guy. And I strive to get back to whoever I can and as much as I can. Right. And
because that makes a difference for me, because I've purchased online courses, and you know, I'll just leave it at that. I've purchased online courses, but for me, I would need the other aspects of, like, if I have a question of something, that other person who created the course is accessible. So when it comes to the application piece of it, if I had any questions about the information, I can be like, oh, I know I can go to them for questions, because obviously they're like well versed in this more than I am, or they can speak to it more than I could speak to it. And so that makes a difference to me in terms of like my whole experience about the whole thing, from indeed, the purchasing indeed. And all of that. So that's why I was asking that question too.
Indeed.
And, yeah.
Course or not, I'm relatively accessible, and right. I'm only one man,
yeah.
So I'm not able to get to everything, but I'm relatively, just in my nature, it's a accessible nature. So, you know, it's regarding the course and just regarding just anything in general. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes people reach out and I might spend 15 minutes sending audio notes to this person that I've never heard from or seen or know anything about, but just answering this random question that they've given me on a fairly regular basis. So when it comes to people who have enrolled in the course, it's a similar approach of that. It's like, if I'm able to assist in that way, then I'm going to, mm-hmm. you know, I just appreciate people.
Yeah, it's that personal touch point.
I just,
it makes a difference.
I just care. Mm-hmm. You know, I just really care. And so sometimes it can be even excessive from my end to the point where it's like not necessarily in the best interest of myself in the sense of how much time I may spend there. Mm-hmm. Like just, but I just care. So,
yeah.
But if someone hits me up with questions that would take an extensive amount of time to answer or an extensive amount of it would be very extensive, then mm-hmm. I would recommend like booking a one-on-one with me. And that's an option as well. So.
Okay. That's cool. And so now that you've got like the work done behind the course, I'll say like the physical work that we can see, like the stuff we can touch on it. How does it feel like you've got it out there now? Like, of course, there's more work to done to promote it and to assist people on a personal level and that kind of thing. But for the actual course itself, like, how does it feel now that the course is complete? Like, how do you feel about it? Because almost it's kind of like it's almost like your baby, like your creation, like your little thing. Like, how does it feel like you've groomed it? You've nurtured it, you've kind of like shaped it how you wanted it to be shaped, and like it's now out into the world. But like, how do you feel now that the whole thing is complete?
Be Nick Cannon.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Be Nick Cannon.
Be Nick Cannon. Oh, you want to make more?
And that goes back to what I'm saying is like, there is no last step. I mean, there's this last step on a project, or you might stop pushing or pouring into or like working on a specific project.
Right.
But you know, I've just come to the realization of most of us have this desire of okay, one day we're gonna wake up and everything we need to do is gonna be done. But the reality is like, no. As long as you're here, you're still here for a reason.
Right.
And you know, I've really just been stepping out of that mindset of, all right, everything's done. Let me take this deep breath. Yes, there's times to take a deep breath. It is. Right. There's times to take breaks and everything. But the greater reality is just like, you're still here. You should maintain continuing to create. You shouldn't, you know, go into early retirement. And then even the concept of retirement, at least in the way that we know it, is a fairly new concept. Up until Social Security, it was expected for people to almost work until they die, you know?
Right. You're so funny, B. Nick Cannon.
Just B. Nick Cannon, you know? It's like, if you have one project and, okay, yeah, it's your baby, but go create more babies. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you have my goal.
No,
here,
I agree. I definitely agree, because I could definitely see, like, spinoffs or other legs stemming from this course. I won't put more work on your plate, but yeah, I can definitely see like how this can branch off into many other things. And that is true. Like, create more. You want to create more, and you should create more. And that kind of is so funny. It goes to my next question. I had asked the question of like, what's next? And so you don't have to answer this now, but now that you've done this course, what is a spinoff or a branch that you see kind of growing from this? Like, what is the next project from this? Or have you just kind of said, like, I know I want to do something next, not really sure exactly what yet? Or, you know, can you share a little bit about that?
It's an interesting question because it was like, I'm not going to ask you, but I'm going to ask you.
Yeah, of course.
So, I play chess. I haven't played checkers in a long time.
Right.
So, and I mean that metaphorically and I mean that literally.
Yes, that's why I laughed.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I got plans. Like I said, I play chess, but okay. I'm very hesitant to like share plans and ideas and things.
Yeah.
Before doing them from an energetic perspective, but then also for even like a scientific biological perspective.
Yeah.
For example, when people speak about things, it gives them a sense, and it's biologically, people feel almost the same chemical response within themselves speaking about things as if they were actually doing them. And right. So that's why you have so many people that they'll talk about what they plan on doing forever. And they'll bring it up any chance they have, because by them speaking about it, it's giving them the internal fulfillment of if they were actually doing it or if they actually did it. So they just speak about it all the time. So
it makes it feel like they've done it.
Right. Because, you know, a person said, oh, I'm about to do X, Y, and Z. And then the people around them say, oh man, that's amazing. That's great. Oh, wow. And so they just got that gratification from simply mentioning it. Right. So every time they mention it, they're like, I'm going to do this and that. And everybody was like, wow, man, that's awesome. That sounds great. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one reason. And then, you know, there's different spiritual perspectives of people have certain spiritual perspectives of.
Definitely.
But like spiritual perspective on every time you share a goal or you share a vision, that it weakens that goal or that vision. And I don't, that's not necessarily something I live by strongly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I can see the perspective on it. And then the last thing is, if all of us are creators, if we're developing things, we're creators. And a painter should not let you see the painting before it's done.
Right.
Because the person walk in the room and they say, oh, well, why does the arm look like this? What? Where's the, like, what? Why is it this color? Why is it X, Y, and Z? And the artist isn't done painting yet, so this person walks in and they see an unfinished version of this painting and they don't even know, maybe this was like the first layer, or maybe, you know, maybe the painting is going in a completely different direction, but a person can come in and even on a in an unintentional manner impact whatever's being created. So
I completely agree about that. Yeah, I was going to say same thing about the whole thing spiritually and energetically. I do feel like if you speak on things too prematurely, it gets to the wrong, like what you said, like you keep speaking on it, it decreases in energy, almost like it decreases in value, but not really, but it kind of decreases in energy in life. And then sometimes depending on who gets a hold of the information, you know, people just come from different parts of life. And even if they realize it intentionally or unintentionally, they can possibly just kind of, you know, put some bad energy on it or something like that, or unintentionally wind up being the one to distract you all the time, or those kind of different things. And I definitely agree with that too. Like, you do have to be selective in what you share, who you share it with. There are definitely things that I do that I don't share with like anybody, you know, it's just literally between me and my journal, or there are things that I'll share with just like family only and then close friends. So like, I feel like for me, like there are different levels of what I share with people and, you know, whatever's happening in life or whatever I'm striving towards or working on. So I definitely get you there. But yeah, I did ask the question anyway.
No, in a way. Understood.
But you did say Beatnik Cannon have more babies. So I was like, okay, he must be ready for the question.
Understood. you know, this is just a random side note thought. You know, it's just, you know, I had this epiphany a couple of days ago. We were talking about journaling, and a lot of people don't write their life stories because they feel like it's premature to do such, which is there's a strong argument there on, okay, especially if, you know, a person in their 30s or 40s or 50s or even 60s to go and write their life story.
Right.
How do you do such if the story's still being written?
Right.
So, but a person doesn't know when they're going to go.
Yeah. And I think for me too, with the journaling piece, I use my journaling kind of as like a, of course I write, you know, going like during the motions of whatever's happening, and it's not like a life story, but I kind of do it in the effect of like, if I were to look back on this, like 3 months from now, or a couple months from now, or a year from now, whatever the time is, it's somewhat of like a blueprint to a question that I may have, like almost like a reference kind of thing. So like, I can go back and get answers, and it's the blueprint, it's the foundation. So if I am in that situation again or encounter a similar situation, I can say, oh, wait, I experienced this already. Like, I have the knowledge, obviously, in my brain, in my mind, but these are the steps I took to get out of this situation. Like, I can always, like, use it as, like, a reference. So, yeah, that's just something I wanted to add with the journaling piece, too. But, yeah, I don't really use it as, like, a telling my life story kind of thing. I really use it for, like, certain experiences in life.
For sure. If you will. For sure. For sure. And I was just bringing up that point because a person may not feel it's premature to write their life story, which is understandable. Though through journaling, a person's thoughts and experiences can be captured in a way that even if they leave at whatever time, that stuff is captured. And so that's the power in journaling, because we all have so many thoughts, and stories, and experiences that.
Right.
That oftentimes the average person doesn't get a chance to share, but something as simple as a journal or a notebook, it can capture that stuff. So it's like, you know, whether you leave in, you know, soon or you leave 100 years from now.
Right.
It's what was going on is captured in some form.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I think it's important too to include a piece of history of what's happening from your lens as well. Because even like when you talk to your grandparents about what was going on in a particular time in history, they'll give you what was going on, you know, nationally, like nationwide, worldwide. But they'll also give you like their experience with it alongside it and how it affected them personally and just whatever was happening. That's why it's always like, you know, it's good to speak to your grandparents and get that history. And of course, they'll all have similar stories because they were all kind of young adults around the same time period. But they'll give you their personal experience with that as well. And I think, too, like I try to look at journaling in that lens as well. Like if I have like, you know, my descendants come back and look on this, they can get like a feel of like a personal experience I've had with something. And when it comes to like what's going on in history, like on a worldly scale, or like a, you know, a state's national scale kind of thing. But yeah, thank you for talking to me about your course.
Thank you for talking to me.
Yeah. I haven't purchased it yet, but that is something on my list to purchase and definitely will be well worth it. I do have the SOS series from my son. And I have, I am part of the book club, and a lot of the books that we read in book club, I think I mentioned this to you before, is like, I also have him read it, you know, like book club, when we're reading it in book club, like that's our time to like, that's my time to kind of like vet the work, see if it's appropriate, that kind of thing and things happening. And then when we're finished the book and we start the new book, I actually give him the book for him to read. And then like, we talk about it, and so we've read some really good books and mature books that I think, you know, as children are growing up, they should be exposed to this kind of literature and these kind of readings. So yeah, thank you for being on the episode and talking about your course. And do you want to just provide your social media and your website for anyone who's listening and who may not know who you are?
So justinblue.com, justinblu.com. Mm-hmm. And social media, you can find me at justinblu_ on most platforms. So yeah, but everything you're looking for is justinblue.com, justinblu.com.
Right. And then do you have a mailing list on your website or anything like that?
Yeah. So once you go to the website, you can definitely subscribe to the website as well and just be up to date with just everything that's going on. So.
Okay. All right. So everyone, thank you for listening and tuning in. And as always, I hope that you got something from this and really check out his life design course. And like he said, it's an investment in yourself because it's something you can always look back to. It's not something that's ever completed or ever finished. So thank you for being here, Justin. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.